So we're looking at Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 11. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds," then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Over to Tom.
Thanks, Tommy. Afternoon, everyone. Lovely to see you. Please keep that passage of the Bible open. And if you've got access to a handout, that will give you some indication of where we're going in the next 15 minutes or so. Now, I think it's fair to say that we are inherently suspicious about novelty, aren't we? Or breaking with traditions. I was speaking not that long ago to my wife's uncle, David. And David, I might have said before, owns a chain of restaurants around the city called Balan's. Now, if you were to look up Balan's online, you would discover that Balan's serves quite a really diverse range of dishes and ingredients. It's a restaurant chain based in London, but it's got food from every nation, food from all around the world. So you could have the curried scallops, the venison, you could have the squid ink linguine, there's beef shank, there's curry, there's chipotle, whatever on earth chipotle is. There are really fun restaurants. There are five, I think, locations, and you could look them up online. They're great for different special occasions. Anyway, family gathering this year, I got chatting to David and I asked him, you know, what is the best seller at all of your restaurants, okay, across all of these locations? You've got this massive range of dishes and ingredients, but what is the best seller? What's the favourite dish at Balan's? Answer, it's the burger with the British steak patty, red Leicester, dill pickle, smoked bacon. He said it has always been the burger, because the British love their tradition, and there is nothing better, is there, than red Leicester and smoked bacon. But I think it is just true that all of us like traditions. We like the familiar. We're a bit nervous about innovations. We're always suspicious, aren't we, about new formulations, be they culinary or technical innovations. It can't be just me who groans deeply inside every time I'm asked to download a new application onto my mobile telephone. And yet, for the first hearers of this word of exhortation, Hebrews, Jesus meant a total transformation. He meant a shift from a religious system and a way of life to which God had called them throughout generations for something like 1,300 years. We thought a bit about it last week, or over the last couple of weeks, I guess. What we're talking about is a system of priests, verse 11. And daily sacrifice is a kind of tangible, visible religion. A system full of offerings. And daily offerings, daily ritual, in order that the people might be forgiven. It didn't ever work, of course. That's what verse 11 says, isn't it? It was a flawed religious system. It was never going to pay their debt to God. But still, it was familiar. A really powerful tradition and a system that was given to them by God. We'll think some more in a moment about how those two things can be true. It was flawed, but it was given to them by God. Now, put like that, I hope it's not that hard for us to see how it might well attract them, this religious system given to them by God. And put like that, I hope it's not that hard for us to see how they might well slip back into it, this kind of ritual, again, given to them by God. But look down there at verse 14, okay? In contrast to that religion, says the writer to the Hebrews, just look at what Jesus has done for us, or for God. In fact, I'll read from verse 12, okay? Verse 12, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. Verse 14, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time, that is, he's restored to right relationship with God those who are being sanctified. Do you see the significance of what is being said here? Jesus Christ has won for us a lasting, full forgiveness. He has restored us to right relationship with God, verse 14. He's perfected us. We've been sanctified, declared holy in Jesus. And if we're trusting him, we're now qualified to draw near to God. And yet the question comes, well, do we need to be suspicious about this offering of lasting peace with God? And yet the question comes, what is the precedent for Jesus? I mean, has God changed his mind? Is this whole thing really of God? Is it just a hoax? And the answer of our verses and the answer of our passage is that far from that, this was the plan of God. This offer of forgiveness and an end to religious rituals, it was always in the sovereign plan of God. Verses 15 to 17 are our text for today. Just let me read them out. Verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, says this preacher, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, declares the Lord, I'll put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. I want to show this lunchtime that what Christians have in Jesus does fit perfectly within the plan of God. That is his plan for a new covenant, one of heart change and forgiveness. Jesus Christ, I want to suggest this lunchtime, fulfills perfectly the promises of God. And I hope, therefore, to give us confidence to hold fast to the Lord Jesus. Or I guess if you've not done so yet, to claim this offer of forgiveness from our Creator God, to deepen our assurance that if we're trusting Jesus, we really have forgiveness. There is nothing more I need to do to get myself right with God. That's what I want us to see this lunchtime. Now you'll see there are two headings on the handout. Both are taken from the verses. And both of them just remind us of what has been promised by God. So the first one, God promised to change people. God promised to change people. Verse 15 again. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Now that word down there in verse 16 that is translated for us, covenant, refers to a contract involving God. It refers to an agreement that the Lord God made with his people. It is, if you're sort of legally minded, you could think of it as a legal contract between humanity and God. And the writer to the Hebrews knows of two such binding covenants, two agreements in the Bible between God's people and God. And the old Mosaic covenant, that's the first one. And then the better one, to use the language of chapter 8, the better one that we find in Jesus, two covenants involving man and God. And it's the latter covenant that is the subject of the quote that we have in these verses here, Jeremiah 31, and these promises from God, or in the language of verse 15, these words from the Holy Spirit. And the context of these verses is the failure of God's people to be faithful. They have broken the first covenant with God. In fact, just turn back in your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 31, and let's spend a bit of time tracing out this promise from God. Jeremiah 31 is on page 660 of the Bibles. Now, the Lord here is, I think, speaking to the exiles in Babylon. He's giving them a word of hope in the light of what has gone wrong. Jeremiah 31, I'm going to read from verse 31, page 660. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. House of Israel, house of Judah, just synonymous with God's people in the Old Testament. Verse 32, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, declares the Lord. Verse 33, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them. I'll write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The thing with that first covenant and all of its traditions is that people broke it. That's the view of God, isn't it? Verse 32. They didn't keep their end of the bargain. They weren't obedient. That covenant of worship with all of its legal regulations, people broke it. That is the verdict here of God. Jeremiah uses this really sort of emotive illustration elsewhere in his prophecy about the people of Israel having sin engraved on their hearts. That is, they knew God's regulations in their head, and they said that they would do them, but they didn't. They had sinful, hardened hearts. They didn't keep the covenant. They broke it. They rejected God. They did not serve God truly from their hearts. Now, back in Hebrews, it's just worth pointing out that the things in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 10 belong very clearly to life under that old covenant. Okay, so the priests, their sacrifices, all that ritual, etc., the tabernacle, the temple with its many parts, they're things from that first covenant. They are in obsolescence now. They never worked, says the writer, and they're not going to start. If I can put it this way, it's something like when it comes to the old covenant, God deliberately installed a glitch on the system. Deliberately, it didn't work. He wanted to show his people that trying to pay for their sins that way was never going to work, and it was never going to start. Or in the language of verse 1, it was a copy and a shadow. Hebrews 10, verse 1, a copy and a shadow. That is, it works so far. You know, it pictured the solution, pictured the need for sacrifice and so on. But it couldn't ever change the heart. Couldn't actually do what was needed to pay the price for my rebellion. But here's the point, okay? God promised that he would make a new covenant. He promised that one day he would change hearts. He promised that, Hebrews 10, verse 16, he would make a brand new covenant, and that is what the death of the Lord Jesus marks. The picture of verse 16, with laws written on people's minds, is of people who love Jesus from their hearts, deeply, truly. People obeying his commandments, or at least loving his commandments, trying to do them, serving Jesus from their heart. And it's worth saying that I take it this is the reason that this question of forgiveness, which we've been throwing around over the last couple of weeks, I take it this is the reason that this question of forgiveness is so live for us in this room, so live for us today. It is because we want to do, if we're Christians, the things we're told to by Jesus. God has changed us internally so that we actually want to live his way. I mean, it's the sort of thing you could chat about round tables later on, but Some of us will be able to see very clearly the ways in which God has been at work in our own hearts. I guess that'll be particularly the case if we were converted in a sort of dramatic way, if we can pin it down to a moment when the lights came on. I cared not for God's commandments, but then suddenly I did. It was a miracle. God worked within my heart. Or I didn't love the Bible one day, but then I came to love the Bible. I suddenly wanted to listen to the Bible. God changed my heart. And the point I think the author is making here is that all of that is because we now live under this new covenant, this age in which God has written the law on his people's hearts. That whole experience is just because God has made this new and better covenant, this promised one. And that is what the death of Jesus marks, his blood of the covenant poured out for many. Verse 16, I will write my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. But what is more, and secondly, as well as God's commandments being written on and placed within his people's hearts, as well as new commandments being given to us in Jesus and this law of Christ, Jesus' words now written deep within our hearts, God promised in this covenant forgiveness for the lawless, for his people's sin, despite our rewired hearts. God promised full forgiveness to those breaking his commandments, full forgiveness to those who had these new transformed hearts. That's the second heading on the handout. Let me read again, verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I'll put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. We said last week, forgiveness is available in Jesus. Full forgiveness, final forgiveness, which there wasn't in the past. We said last week that he takes the sin of those who trust in him, Jesus, and he's paid our debt for us. He's sorted the thing that keeps God and man apart. He's turned aside God's anger in his body. But here then is this promise of that meaningful forgiveness. Here's the proof that Jesus was acting for God. This age, verse 17, of the new covenant is one without remembrance of lawless deeds before Almighty God. Verse 17, I will remember, promised God, their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And that's quite a thought, isn't it? I remember hearing on a summer camp a number of years ago, the sort of morning after the talk that gave people the chance to sort of pray a prayer of commitment. I remember hearing a talk that said, for those who came to Jesus last night, your sins are forgiven, forgotten, forever. And that's quite a thought, isn't it? Forgiven, forgotten, forever. Whatever I have done and whatever I go on to do, however sinful, however rebellious my past, what's on offer in Jesus is a meaningful forgiveness. It is the chance to make a new and better start, not to be weighed down by the burden of my sin anymore. But do you see the point here, verse 17? It is just as God promised it. He has made this new covenant in Jesus. He has cleared our debt, the Lord. This is just as God promised it. It's a new and better covenant. Our lawless deeds, verse 17, forgiven, by the Lord. It's exactly what he promised to do. As we move towards a close, I hope that gives you confidence. If you're trusting today in the gospel, I hope it assures you that you are forgiven by the Lord. God promised it, this gospel. He said that he would offer this forgiveness. Jesus Christ fulfills this promise of the Lord. To come back to the introduction, you know, he's not a suspicious novelty, some kind of weird innovation. He fulfills precisely what was promised by the Lord. And as we close, just glance your eyes down to the big application that the preacher gives for those who love the Lord, for those who know his forgiveness, who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, who's now been raised and has ascended to the Lord. Verse 21 of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, we might say, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's a fascinating phrase, isn't it? That one about our evil conscience. Oh, meaningful forgiveness will address a troubled conscience. We can draw near now with assurance before God. Because as you and I look to Jesus, what he's done for us and where he is now, as you and I look to Jesus, God sprinkles clean our conscience. We do not need to fear the day that we meet the Lord. Why ever would we drift away from what we have in Jesus to the tangible, to religion, or to rules? Why ever would we throw away this new, untroubled conscience? I will remember, verse 17, their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Let's pray as we close. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to do your Father's will and to bring to completion this wonderful redemption plan. We thank you that by pouring out your blood on the cross, you marked the start of this new covenant, this new age in which we've been changed internally in our hearts, and in which our sins have been forgiven, forgotten forever. And we pray that reflecting on what it is you have done for us would really deepen our confidence in the gospel, deepen our boldness to share it, and we pray that you keep us from ever moving on from it. In Jesus' name, amen.